now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Hello, everyone. This is John Heine. I'm the community outreach manager for the city of Prescott, filling in for Mayor Mangarelli today. I want to let you know that we have a great show for you today. We'll be talking about Prescott's amazing museums and two new centers that you may not yet know about. But first, we'll take a break.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. Cold weather will be here before you know it. Now is the time to save money this winter with our pre-buy program. You can purchase all or part of the propane you think you'll use between October and March at a guaranteed low rate. If you don't use it all, we'll credit your account. This deal is only good while supplies last, so order today. Go to BarrettPropane.com or call us at 636-1600. That's 636-1600. And don't forget, we're the local guys. When you buy here, your money stays here. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Oh, yes, there is. Augie's Happy Hour with some tasty reds and whites. Just the thing for those summertime blues. Enjoy the beautiful blue sky on Augie's patio with mountain views that make every meal a sight to behold. Chef Joel will have you jumping for joy all summer long at the one and only Augie's. Call 777-0330. The place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
It sure is hot in Cottonwood in the summer, and nothing is cooler than riding Cottonwood Area Transit.
Bruce, CAT provides friendly, safe, and courteous travel, and that's why riding the CAT is cool during the summertime.
Cottonwood Area Transit can take you where you want to go in Clarkdale, Verde Villages, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. Verde Links will give you a cool ride to Sedona.
Don't forget your trips to Camp Verde and Greyhound through the Yavapai Apache Nation Transit.
Rudy, that's hot stuff.
And I'm riding the cool CAT. Let's go.
Visit CottonwoodAZ.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reaper Graphics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reaper Graphics is your one-stop print shop.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. This is one of my favorite ads, so I'm bringing it back. Years ago, I noticed a poster in the break room of our Prescott store. It was titled, An Old Cowboy's Advice, and I just had to revisit it. Its advice is timeless, like life is simpler when you plow around the stump. And a bumblebee is considerably faster than a John Deere tractor. Then there's, don't corner something that you know is meaner than you. And last but not least, most of the stuff people worry about ain't never going to happen anyway. Good common sense, just like Olson's. Our mission is the healthy feeding of your livestock and pets from a common sense perspective. We think local, we speak local, and we care local, and we only carry the best feed, hay, and pet food. You'll find us in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale, and on the web at olsonsgrain.com. By the way, in case you're wondering what Olson's common sense saying is, why, good enough just isn't, of course.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back. This is John Heine, community outreach manager for the city of Prescott, filling in for Mayor Mangarelli. We have a great show. I'm going to call it the Museum Roundup. We're going to talk a little bit about all of our great museums here in Prescott. Our first guest today is Mr. Fred Vail with Charlotte Hall Museum. Welcome, Fred.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you on the show today.
Always an opportunity to talk about the Charlotte Hall Museum.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about Charlotte Hall and, you know, where it's just general information, where it's located and things like that.
Well, it's located, as we say, two blocks west of the courthouse. Occupies a four-acre campus. with 11 exhibit buildings, seven of which are historic structures. The centerpiece, of course, is the original governor's mansion, which was the home and the office of the first two territorial governors back in 1860s when Prescott was the territorial capital.
The first territorial capital.
Like to say.
Kind of switched back and forth for a few years, didn't it?
Yeah, well, it did. It was in Prescott for a couple of years, went to Tucson for 10, came back to Prescott for another 10, and in 1889 eventually moved permanently to Phoenix.
Phoenix
didn't even exist when Prescott was the capital in the first instance.
Interesting to think about that.
But the museum has been there 91 years.
Wow.
It was founded in 1928. By Charlotte Maybrith Hall, who was a very remarkable woman, well ahead of her time, a poet, an author, a historian, an activist, a politician. She was the first woman to hold public office in territorial Arizona. And the important thing is that she saw the need to preserve our history. And she began at an early age, began to collect artifacts from Native Americans and pioneer persons, and used that collection to open the museum in the governor's mansion in 1928. And from that, in the 91 years that has since passed, the museum has expanded to a four-acre campus with, as I said, 11 exhibit buildings and number of historic structures.
And it's a beautiful campus, really. I mean,
it
with
is.
The Rose
beautiful
Garden.
Beautiful landscape
and,
grounds. The Rose Garden is, of course, the centerpiece of the landscaping, and that's a memorial to the pioneer and Native American women who lived in the territory during its territorial years from 1863 to 1912, and who made some form of contribution to its settlement and its development and preparing it, as we say, for statehood.
That's wonderful. I always learn something when I talk to you, Fred, so that was my fact for the
I'm
day.
Glad
I appreciate
to help.
That. Thank you. So this has been around for 91 years. So what's your annual visitation to the museum, would you say?
We average about 30,000 a year.
Okay.
And they come from every state in the country, including Hawaii. And dozens of foreign countries. Our visitation is significantly Arizona and California and a few other of the surrounding states. But as I said, they come from everywhere. Yesterday, Alaska.
Wow.
Today, I talked to somebody from Massachusetts and another person from Michigan, and they just. A lot of them, to be honest with you, are snowbirds who are in the not just snowbirds, but people who live who have transplanted from the Midwest or some one of the northern climes into into southern Arizona or the valley, and who are here today to get out of the heat
to cool off a little bit.
I understand it's 115 down there today.
Yes, it is. It is quite warm down there. Absolutely. Well, yeah, it sounds great. So they come up. They maybe live down there now, but they come up here to cool off and really see Charlotte Hall, but also enjoy Prescott.
Yeah, and in the winter, the snowbirds will take a break from just for something different. Will come up from the valley as well.
Do you find that most of your visitors do come in the summer? Is that the high season for the museum?
The high season, from May to October.
Okay.
Is our high season, but we get we're open all year round.
Right.
Every day except Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
Great.
Our hours on Sunday are a little shorter than the other days of the week, but we're open for business.
Absolutely, and that's great. And there's a lot for people to see there. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect to see other than the governor's mansion at the museum.
Well, I'd like to say when people walk in, they're walking into, as we talked about, a park-like setting.
Yes.
And they're awestruck by the grounds. They're just beautiful. And what we do as a museum, of course, we are a cultural and an educational institution, a center. And so at the Charlotte Hall Museum, we are the only museum in all of Arizona that presents the foundational history of Arizona from its, like I say, our prehistoric grassroots through the founding of the territory in 1863, the creation of Prescott in 1864, and then its evolution and development well into the early part of the 20th century, certainly up to and through statehood.
Wow, and I know that one thing that I wanted to ask about is your archives. I mean, you really have a repository of a tremendous amount of information.
We have one of the finest research centers in the state of Arizona. Mm-hmm. We have hundreds of thousands of historic photographs. We have millions of pages of documents. We have oral histories, very significant collection of maps and genealogical information, and it's a research center for historians, for persons just looking for genealogical mm-hmm. information, and we have a staff there made up both of paid staff and mm-hmm. volunteers who are there to help.
Well, it's a great asset to our area, but really the entire state, I would guess.
Oh, it is, and beyond.
Yes.
I mean, we have people come in from all over or call from all mm-hmm. over or send an email and say, mm-hmm. you know, can you help me with this? I'm looking for my grandma.
Wow.
And where did she live? That kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it is a wonderful facility.
Absolutely. So aside from the museum itself and things that people can see and visit, you do a lot of special events throughout the year as well.
Oh, we do. We have three major festivals and a number of other events. We have in June, we have the Folk Arts Fair, mm-hmm. Where we have exhibitors exhibiting the crafts of yesteryear from the 1800s. Anywhere from blacksmithing to saddle making to weaving to shearing and all that type of stuff. A lot of kids' activities mm-hmm. associated with that. And then in July, second week of July, generally we have our Prescott Indian Art Market, which is one of the three finest in the West, according to the Native Americans who participate mm-hmm. in. All of our artists are authentic. I mean, they're certified Native Americans from the tribe certify them. They are all juries, selected by a jury. We have a council of Native American artists who evaluate each applicant and determine who is appropriately selected and who is not. And it's a great show. And then coming up, actually, in October, we'll have the Folk Music Festival. We'll have 200 musicians in four different venues
wow.
for 2 days of just nonstop music. So those are three major festivals.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have the Western History
sure.
Symposium. I've talked about we have the Wine Fest, which we just completed this last week, last Saturday,
sure.
and in December, after the courthouse lighting, we'll have Frontier Christmas, where we recreate yep. a 1800s Christmas, and all of our personnel in authentic
yeah.
Period costuming and so forth.
It's a great compliment to the holidays, for
sure.
Oh,
it is.
So we just got a few minutes left. I want to talk quickly about your construction project and what that's going to mean for the area once it's done.
Oh, yes. We're well under construction for an education center. As I like to tell people, we are going vertical, which means the steel is going up, and pretty soon we'll be at the second floor. It's a 10,000-square-foot facility. The cost is $3 million. It's funded entirely by private funds, donated mm-hmm. funds from foundations and persons. It'll have a basement that'll expand our collections area. It'll have an auditorium on the first floor, which will expand our ability for our educational programming because we don't have enough space mm-hmm. as it is. And the second floor will have classrooms and office space for our educational staff and others. Projection would be by early next summer. We should have it completed and be occupied.
And this will be an asset, again, to the community. People will be able to use it.
It will.
Yeah.
It will be
groups and organizations.
Available for that type of thing. And the other aspect of it, the space that we're now using for educational programming, which is inadequate, will be moved to, the space won't be moved, but the educational programming will be moved and we'll be able to then convert that space into exhibit space, permanent space. We have 40,000 artifacts in our collections. We have less than 10% of them on exhibit, so we'll be able to expand into other areas that will enhance the experience of our visitors.
That's great. So just a few seconds left. Where can we get more information about what's going on at Charlotte Hall?
Charlotte.org.
Excellent.
That's our website, or call the museum at 445-3122.
Wonderful. Well, there's so much going on. We could spend a whole hour just talking about what you have going on.
Yeah, we never even got to Fort Whipple.
We didn't. We'll have to get that on the next one.
Yeah, we'll do that again,
Well, Fred,
John,
thank you so much for coming today, and we really appreciate everything that Charlotte Hall does for our entire community and a great asset.
Well, we appreciate the support we get from the community.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back with a...
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Get ready for Celebrate Life Health Expo 2019, sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The biggest and best expo yet awaits you on Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley. Enjoy health, wellness, and fitness activities for all ages. Connect with organizations that promote healthy lifestyle activities, such as hiking and biking. Enjoy self-defense, chair yoga, and recipe demonstrations. And enter drawings for the chance to win a Fitbit and other great prizes. Make it a mega celebration by exploring the world's only larger-than-life walkthrough exhibits of the human body, mega body, and mega heart, as well as colossal colon. Bring the whole family to YRMC's Celebrate Life Health Expo at the Findlay Toyota Center in Prescott Valley, Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit YRMCHealthConnect.org.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back. I am your guest host today. I'm John Heine with the city of Prescott, and we have two guests for this next segment. Ed Kellerman, director of the Phippen Museum, and Manuel Lucero III from Smoke Eye Museum. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Lucio, hello.
So, Ed, we'll start with you and talk a little bit about the Phippen Museum, just to have some questions for you. So let's talk about it. Tell our listeners, if they're not familiar with the museum, what it's all about.
All right. Well, the Phippen Museum is named in honor of a local painter and sculptor, George Phippen. He was an extremely talented artist who created more than 3,000 pieces of artwork in his lifetime. And he was a co-founder and first president of the Cowboy Artists of America. Unfortunately, he passed away at the early age of 50 in 1966, but his friends and family were so enamored with his inspirational character and artistic talent that they wanted to pursue an institution in his name that would preserve, promote, and present the great art of the American West, and hence the Phippen Museum was born.
And it's absolutely a beautiful museum. Tell us where it's located.
Well, I know I'm biased, but I think the Phippen Museum is probably located in one of the most perfect spots for a Western museum that you could possibly imagine, the incredible Granite Dells in North Prescott. Harold James was the owner of the Deepwell Ranch, and George Phippen's wife, Louise, they both walked the ranch property together back in the 1970s searching for the perfect place that would enhance and elevate the Phippen's presence, and I don't think they could have done a better job.
And you've got a great landmark now there with that beautiful bronze in the roundabout, the Cowboy in a Storm.
Beautiful piece of artwork by George Fippen.
Been up for about a year or so?
It has. It's very popular.
Now, that's great. So what can visitors expect when they come to the museum?
Well, nearly 35 years after its inception, the museum boasts nearly 700 members and has grown to more than 17,000 square feet of gallery space, and that includes permanent displays, studio replicas, research library, the Arizona Rancher and Cowboy Hall of Fame, the Solon Borglum Collection, and then space for art workshops, heritage presentations, and special annual events.
Yeah, that's great. So you have a current exhibit that just started. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
We do. It's a very popular, this is, I believe, our fifth annual Hold Your Horses Invitational Exhibition and Sale. And in it, it's an exhibit that showcases artwork by artists who are known for their art of the horse. And in addition to that, in our James Gallery, we have a heartfelt tribute to local cowgirl rancher and Western artist and a great friend of the Fippen Museum, the late Cynthia Rigdon, who it's called appropriately The Life of Cynthia Rigdon.
Oh, wonderful. So how long will those exhibits be on display?
The Life of Cynthia Rigdon, I believe, runs through January 17th. Oh. And Hold Your Horses, you can still see that. It's up until September 22nd.
Awesome. Can't wait to get out there and take a look at that.
You should.
So you also do events like most museums. So what do you have going on? What's coming up all the way through the holidays?
Well, we always have a lot going on at the museum, but coming up in September is the 14th annual Fall Gathering Barbecue, which commemorates our grand opening in 1984. It's at 5:30 p.m. on September 21st, $30 for guests. October also offers a lot. We have our third annual Clay Out West Sculpture Jamboree and Competition for Kids, a third Thursday dinner program with Wyatt Earp, focusing on Western legend Doc Holliday, and we're going to present Walk on the Wild Side, an exhibit showcasing a stunning collection of wildlife art.
Wow, a lot going on.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. So where can people learn more about all of this information?
Well, of course, the best source is to come to the museum itself, but you can always go online to fippenartmuseum.org and find out more about our upcoming events and exhibitions and learn more about some of the most interesting characters that we showcase at the Fippen Museum.
Ed, thank you for that information. Very well said and very efficient transfer of information to all of our listeners.
Thank
we appreciate that.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. So, Manuel, we're going to start with you. Now, you had a greeting.
Osio. It's, I'm, I should do yep. The whole introduction, I guess. Osio, Manuel Lucero, what I said was, hello, my name is Manuel Lucero. I'm from the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. But I currently am the assistant director at the Smoke Eye Museum of American Indian Art and Culture. If you've never been there, we are tucked behind the Grace Sparks Activity Center, which is the old National Guard Armory at 147 North Arizona Avenue, right across the street from the skate park at Kenlinley Field.
Excellent. Yes, thank you. So what are some of the exhibits that you have on display ongoing and maybe some new exhibits that you have coming?
Oh, we got a lot of goodies coming.
All right.
Currently, now, for our permanent exhibits, we have, of course, the largest collection of locally sourced pottery on display in the country. And by that, I mean in the world, you know, because Native people are from here. We do have that. The only other museum in the country that has anywhere close to what we have is the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So we're very... very proud of that for our little bitty museum, our little rock building.
Absolutely.
So we have cultural cases from the Hopi to the Navajo, the Yavapai, Apache, Tohono O'odham, Pima, you name it. We try to stick to the Southwest because there are over 573 federally recognized tribes in the United States alone, 22 of which are right here in Arizona.
Okay.
So we try to stay hometown with it because there's just too much to tell and too much to show.
Yeah, that's a lot, even 22.
You betcha.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff to talk about. Are you doing anything new? New exhibits coming up?
We are. Our new exhibit's coming up. We have, for a new permanent exhibit, we have our children's exhibit. And we are taking our very old and ancient-looking buildings and putting some 21st century technology into them. So, you know, kids, you bring them to the museum and they look at stuff behind glass and like, okay, mom, dad, I'm ready to go home now.
Absolutely.
But they like to touch things and they like to move things around and they like to be tactile with everything they do. So we'll have some touchscreen technologies. They can go to the north wall in the children's exhibit room and hit a touchscreen and listen to grandma tell a story about rabbit or about coyote or what have you. We have storytellers from Acoma Pueblo, from Navajo, from Yaqui, even including from my own tribe. I try to throw some in there, too.
Absolutely.
From the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. But we are going to make that intrinsic to where it changes all the time. So depending on the season you come in, you'll hear a story from wintertime. You'll hear a story from the spring or a story from the summer or fall so that we keep it fresh for the kids when they come in. And there'll be other stations for more hands-on. We'll talk about color and that importance to Native people. We'll also talk about the scientific aspect of what archaeologists believe that Native people come from. That way kids are continuously being educated while they're having fun. We want to slip that
it
in.
It works out well.
You betcha.
Yeah.
We'll have a hands-on water station with a mock-up of Montezuma as well so the kids can open check valves and let water flow and learn about being very conservative and renewable resources responsible way to use our resources.
So Montezuma Well actually had a canal system, right?
It did, and it's over they say it's well over 1,000 years old. Some folks say it's older than that, but yeah. The farmers out there in the Verde Valley are still using that system to irrigate their fields.
Wow.
Amazing.
So you'll have a model of that, a working model.
Yes, a working model. And, sounds of course, like they can grind up some corn, too.
I was going to ask about that because I saw
the models of Matates, you betcha.
Grind some corn.
Yeah, then some of those objects are over 1,000 years old. And you get to put your hands on them and you get to grind up corn. And it's a lot of good fun.
Figure they survived this long. How can we hurt them, right?
Right?
That's
they are
awesome.
Made of rock.
Very tactile. Well, that sounds great. It sounds like a lot of new things happening at the museum and coming
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
But also, you also kind of are involved in a lot of events and things that are going on around the community as well.
We are. This last spring, we had the Contemporary Native Arts Festival, mm-hmm. which is the first time that's ever happened. It was amazing. We did some great things with that. But coming up, we have our semi-annual rug auction. This will be our fall rug auction here in mm-hmm. September. And that'll be the weekend of September...
He's checking his smartphone, guys.
I had
so
to
you
look
know.
At my phone because I
get it.
My head's
so
all over the
place. So much going on.
13th and 14th. So Friday night we'll have an art auction. It'll be a quick art auction, lots of fun. We'll sell about 100 items or auction 100 items there.
Wow.
And then on Saturday we'll go ahead and put forth another 300 items of Navajo rugs and American Indian art from all over the country.
Wow. That sounds tremendous. This is an annual event,
this is,
right?
We do it twice a year.
Do
it once in the spring and then once in the fall.
Awesome.
And it's amazing. We pack our little Pueblo room.
I bet.
Don't listen, Fire Marshal. Just kidding.
Yeah. Do you know anybody at the city?
Right.
So also there's not directly related to the museum, but related through the Granite Mountain Gourd Society powwow coming up, right?
Absolutely. Okay. That following weekend, which would be the 20th through the 22nd, is the will be the 13th annual Prescott powwow. And we have dancers coming from all over the continent to come and socialize and dance and pray and have a good time and eat some really greasy food that'll probably give you diabetes.
As long as it tastes good.
It tastes fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah, the powwow is always a favorite event, and I have had the opportunity to sit in on some gourd dances, as you know, and the drumming is just, it's healing.
It is, absolutely.
It is absolutely a great experience. So
we say that's the heartbeat of Mother Earth, the heartbeat of the people.
Wow, it's wonderful, wonderful. So a lot going on at the museum. I can't wait to see the new exhibits.
Yes.
And come back and visit. And I think we are all set for this segment. Thank you both, gentlemen, very much for being on the show. Sorry it was so quick. I told Fred Vail we could have spent a whole hour on his museum, and I'd say the same for yours as well. There's so much to talk about.
There is.
But
there
we appreciate the assets that your museums bring to our community. As the head of the tourism office, they're great attractors for visitors as well. So we appreciate that as well.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Wato.
Okay, so let's take a break, and when we return, we'll talk about the all-new Western Heritage Center and the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Learning and Tribute Center. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott. 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com.
I Are you craving a lodgepole light cream ale from Prescott Brewing Company, but you're too lazy to get off the couch and into the pub? Are you hungering for some apricots and beer brewed together in our Palpricot Pale Ale? Or are you thirsty for a malty manzanita red ale with great drinkability and a bit of spunkiness? Well, now you can have all three of them safe and secure in your own fridge. Enjoy six of PBC's most popular beers brewed and canned to perfection. Available from Prescott Brewing Company, downtown Prescott, and out and about town at several retailers.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Do you have what it takes to be a champion? Join in on the excitement for the 2019 Torn Event of Champions at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Now through August 24th, find out if you have what it takes. Sundays and Wednesdays, you can win Castle Cash and the chance to move on to the quarterfinal rounds on August 23rd and 24th, where you could get an expense-paid trip to Las Vegas to compete for the $1 million grand prize. Play like a champion, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel, the perfect place to play.
It's monsoon season. You know what that means. Mud. Prescott Dirt is here to help. This is Sam from Prescott Dirt. We can keep the mud out of your way and even slow down erosion, keeping your bank in place. Nobody wants their yard moving around by itself. No truck, no problem. Prescott Dirt delivers. Find us in Prescott and Prescott Valley to set up delivery or pickup. And you can find us online at PrescottDirt.com. Keep your yard beautiful with Prescott Dirt.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. This weekend will mark 1 year since the death of Senator John McCain. His widow, Cindy McCain, tells Arizona News Radio it's been a difficult year since.
Although I have my moments, I'm also happy to celebrate and carry on his legacy.
To honor that legacy, McCain says he's calling on Americans to perform acts of civility in the senator's memory and post about them on social media at hashtag acts of civility.
You're never ready for it, but to see the outpouring and to see not only just the people along the street, but to also the outpouring from around the world. He left his mark on this world in an incredible way.
McCain says she and her family will gather this weekend at the family's ranch in Cornville to carry out her husband's wishes, that they raise a glass, tell some stories, and laugh.
It's just our close friends, and we're going to be goofy and have a lot of fun and just remember his sense of humor.
McCain says in these tumultuous political times, her husband's voice is sorely missed. Sunny, breezy, and hot, cooling after bedtime tonight with clear skies to about 63 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Heating back up to 92 tomorrow, 89 Friday and Saturday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, clear evening skies, an overnight low around 69. Then highs of a sunny and breezy 103 tomorrow, 100 Friday and Saturday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening and stay tuned. Talk of the Town Prescott will continue on KQ&A in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. Cold weather will be here before you know it. Now is the time to save money this winter with our pre-buy program. You can purchase all or part of the propane you think you'll use between October and March at a guaranteed low rate. If you don't use it all, we'll credit your account. This deal is only good while supplies last, so order today. Go to BarrettPropane.com or call us at 636-1600. That's 636-1600. And don't forget, we're the local guys. When you buy here, your money stays here. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It sure is hot in Cottonwood in the summer, and nothing is cooler than riding Cottonwood Area Transit.
Bruce, CAT provides friendly, safe, and courteous travel, and that's why riding the CAT is cool during the summertime.
Cottonwood Area Transit can take you where you want to go in Clarkdale, Verde Villages, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. Verde Lynx will give you a cool ride to Sedona.
Don't forget your trips to Camp Verde and Greyhound through the Yavapai Apache Nation Transit.
Rudy, that's hot stuff.
And I'm riding the cool CAT. Let's go.
Visit CottonwoodAZ.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
Why wait till Christmas to have a party when Augie's Banquet Room is available 7 days a week for lunch, 7 nights a week for dinner? Having a birthday, anniversary, career promotion. Maybe you won the lottery. You don't need an excuse to book Augie's Banquet Room, but you do need a reservation. Call Augie's at 777-0330. Augie's Private Banquet Room. Just one more reason why the one and only Augie's Frontier Village is the place to dine on Highway 69.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
Welcome back. I'm your guest host today. I'm John Heine with the city of Prescott. And I have as my next guest, Dennis Gallagher with the Western Heritage Center, located right in downtown on Whiskey Row. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate being here.
Glad to have you here and talk about something that maybe not a lot of people may know about because it's kind of a new thing. So tell us a little bit about the Western Heritage Center.
Okay. First of all, we have the Prescott Western Heritage Foundation, and we've had that for, since 2011, 2012 now. And now the Western Heritage Center on Historic Whiskey Row, across from the Courthouse Plaza, is the newest addition, and it's the focus of our organization. It's not a museum. It's a showcase of museums and organizations and other exhibits that help preserve a heritage.
Yeah, that's what struck me about it when it first opened, is that your vision to sort of talk about Western heritage in general and showcase other exhibits in other places. Even really, you're looking around Yavapai County as well, right?
That's right. This covers all of Yavapai County. We'll soon be getting some in from the Verde Valley, probably Route 66 up in Ash Fork.
Awesome.
And, a number of the smaller museums around Yavapai County.
Yeah, that's great. So that people, if they stop there, they can learn about other places to go and see while they're here in northern Arizona.
Exactly. Our mission, our focus is promoting all of these organizations and then directing people to those that interest them the most.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we'll have a interactive touchscreen system where people can touch on a logo or icon, and that will take them to maybe a short video, mission statement, history, photographs, and how to get to that location from our center.
That's great. So you're working on that.
That's
in the future.
We just received a grant for that.
Oh, excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So when visitors come in today, what can they expect to see when they get there?
If they try to come in today, they won't get in because we're only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You know what? I was going to ask about the hours.
Right.
Thank you for that segue. Yeah, so you're open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right. And then during the week, we continue to build out, add more exhibits. Actually, tomorrow we'll be adding another one, and then we'll be talking to someone about completing another one this month. And then we have some other ones coming in, possibly before the end of the month.
Gotcha.
So every week we're adding something.
Great.
Something new.
Excellent. And you talked about a stage for future performances?
Right. We've started on a stage off-site, and then once the base gets built, we'll bring that in and complete it. We're hoping to have that done by October 1st, and then we have a list of people that would like to perform music, poetry, book signings, workshops, lectures, you name it.
Sure, and obviously all themed about our Western heritage.
Mm, right. Excellent. And then we'll use it for Acker Night also.
Yes, yeah, which is coming up. We were just talking about the holidays are coming fast. So.
Exactly.
But so when the center's open right now, there's I know there's quite a bit to see, a lot of cool displays.
Yeah, we're open Friday and Saturday from 10 till 5.
Okay.
And Sunday from 10 till 4.
Excellent. So some of the existing exhibits that are in there right now, what can people expect to find?
Well, let's see. Starting from the front, you'd find a little bit on the world's oldest rodeo, Prescott Frontier Days.
Yeah.
And then history of law enforcement in Yavapai County, Rough Riders.
Excellent.
Which is one of our key exhibits. Phippen Museum. Smoke Eye Museum, Charlotte Hall Museum, ranching, Yavapai Cowbells, Arizona Cowboy Poets Gathering. Tomorrow we'll have Elks Theater.
Oh, great.
We'll have History of Film in Yavapai County.
Excellent.
And then we'll just go down the list of all the other small museums. And
so you've had some donations of some great artifacts already.
Oh,
you mentioned the Rough Riders. I think, do you have a uniform?
We've got quite a collection. Three families came in from Arizona, New Mexico. They're all three sisters and their great granddaughters of one of the Rough Riders. And they brought in some incredible items, including two flags that, very large flags that we've had framed. And the Yavapai Questers paid for the framing of those.
Oh, wonderful.
And now the Thumb Butte Questers have purchased, or they're having us purchase some document cases to preserve all the documents that we received from this group, too.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like a nice collection about the Rough Riders from those families.
Yeah, and actually we're going to be adding to that soon.
Wonderful. That's great. And you mentioned the law enforcement exhibit.
Right.
So tell us about that a little bit.
Okay, well, Scott Masher and the Sheriff's Office has been very gracious and loaned us George Ruffner's desk and other artifacts that have been in the sheriff's office.
So George Ruffner of the Ruffner family, right?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that history.
Well, I mean, most people in town know about the Ruffners, but of course, Elizabeth Ruffner just passed this a few months back, and she was 99 and a half. But Melissa and Becky, daughters, have both been donating and loaning items to us.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is in the law enforcement exhibit.
His desk from his office is in there, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. It's really very interesting. And just to kind of see a little bit of what it might have looked like in his office and some of the photographs, historical photographs and things as well.
Right. There's a photograph of Howie's office looked back during one of his terms.
Yeah.
He served multiple terms.
Gotcha. So really, it just sounds like the community, as you were kind of preparing to open this, the community really has come to you and said, how can we help? I know you've got some volunteers that have helped build some of the displays.
Yeah, all of the exhibits have been built by our volunteers. We have an incredible group. And I think a lot of people saw an article in the paper probably a week ago Sunday about our curator.
Mm-hmm.
She's an incredible lady. That's Marilyn Fisher.
Yes.
And, we've had incredible support from the community. Our organization relies strictly on donations.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been very fortunate, because we have to sustain this operation for years to come. And, we've had some great support.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people that would tell me everything that you've done to get this to this level and your commitment and steadfast resolve to make sure that this center opens. And I think the community is very grateful.
It's taken years.
Yes.
To put it together.
Yes, absolutely. So we talked a little bit about the holiday, but maybe we can talk about some of the events that you have coming up as well.
Sure. Our major fundraising event is our Western Heritage Banquet. That's going to be November 2nd this year. And we'll be posting that on Facebook this next week. We'll have information in the Western Heritage Center. And we'll be sending out for the email addresses we have on, you know, from previous years and so forth, we'll be sending out constant contact e-blasts.
Great.
About the event, the cost, and so forth.
Great. So where can people learn more about the center in general and events?
Well, come to the center on the weekend.
Excellent.
And we have a lot of volunteers there, some working the mercantile, some serving as guides for the center. And they can get a lot of information, and hopefully they'll enjoy visiting the center.
That's great. So we talked about some of the exhibits. We talked briefly about the holidays and Akronite. So you do plan to have entertainment there for Akronite as well on your new stage.
Right. Actually, last year we opened for Akronite before we had the place painted. It was totally empty, and we had a great time. This year it's going to be just a little bit different.
Sure, absolutely.
And, yeah, we're planning to have a group in for Akronite.
That sounds great. Are you thinking about other events at the center as well throughout the year?
Right. As soon as we get the stage set up, we have a list of various performers and authors and so forth that would like to take the stage. And we also open the space to some of our participants and veterans. Okay. We have an event coming up, I think, on September 12th for a group of veterans.
Okay.
That have just come back.
So participant groups are able to possibly rent the space from you or
right.
use it for special events.
And like today, we had a luncheon for the Yavapai Cowbells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took care of everything. They brought in their okay. people and their food and just used yeah. our space.
What a great use for the space when it's not open.
They loved it.
And
yeah.
a great environment for folks with Western, you know, heritage and in mind. So,
right.
Yeah, that's outstanding. So I have to ask, and maybe you're not allowed to say, but what is your favorite exhibit currently at the center?
Currently? Yeah, I'm a little partial to the Rough Rider exhibit.
Yeah. yeah.
Because that's one we put together ourselves mm-hmm. With a major loan, long-term loan from mm-hmm. Several families.
Yep.
And they've been here from New Mexico and Phoenix, and they love it.
Yeah, that sounds great. And again,
the next one, I think, is going to be the history of film in Yavapai County.
Okay.
It's going to be great, I think.
And talk about Tom Mix and all that?
A lot of
yeah.
a lot of historical films were made
sure.
here.
Sure, absolutely.
Starting in 1912.
Yes, I know a lot of people talk about Junior Bonner, and that was sort of more contemporary, but that
sure.
was 40 years ago, too. So
most of the movies were made back in the teens, 20s,
okay.
and 30s.
Yeah, the early Westerns.
Right.
Awesome. Can't wait to learn more about that as well. So, well, Dennis, it's really been a pleasure having you on. And as I've said to the previous guests, we could take a whole hour just talking about the center, but thank you for taking this time with us today.
Appreciate
the opportunity.
Thanks
for everything you do, and thanks for creating this wonderful, it's an asset to the community, but also an attraction. And again, as I've said before, I'm the head of the tourism office, so we appreciate having great opportunities and experiences for our guests to experience, like the Western Heritage Center.
Thank you again.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk about the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott and Prescott Valley, in Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White's Bar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Choices, choices, choices. For those times when the whole crazy bar scene and loud music just aren't what you're looking for, but you're also not looking for a dull and boring family-style chain restaurant dining experience, we say choose tried and true Prescott Brewing Company. Comfort food and great beer. Vegetarian and great beer. Made from scratch, including the beer. Salads and pizzas, burgers and tacos, pulled pork and smoked brisket. There's something for everyone at Prescott Brewing Company. Real food, real beer, real people, and real local.
Hi, Kennett Waters with our Monster Monsoon Sale, our only sale of the year.
Truckloads of fresh autumn maple, aspen, and spruce have just arrived, and we need room, so summer plants must go.
Perennials, trees, shrubs, even pottery must go, and it's worth your while with plant sales at 25, 45, even 65% off.
It's Waters' only sale of the year at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Where people who love great plants at sale prices, they love to shop.
This Labor Day weekend, jam down to Cliff Castle Casino Hotel for the 2019 Reggae Fest. This August 31st, experience Rasta like never before and jam out to nothing but positive vibes starting at 1:30 p.m. This stacked lineup includes local favorite Kill Babylon Coalition, I Conscious, Pato Bonton, and special guest headliner, Hyrie. Tickets are just $25 and on sale now at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel or at cliffcastlecasinohotel.com. Management reserves all rights.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the mayor of the city of Prescott, Greg Mangarelli.
And I'm John Heine, your guest host for our final segment. We have two for one today for the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center. We have board chair John Marsh with us today, and also the museum's, the center's curator, Katie Dufort. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so let's. We just got a few minutes, so let's talk a little bit about the center. Katie, maybe just tell us, give us an overview of the center and what it's all about and what guests can expect to see when they come over to the center. Maybe let's start with where it is.
Oh, so the center is in the Prescott Gateway Mall.
There
it
is.
We've been open for just over a year now, which has been fantastic. We've had a lot of people come through. We're open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We open at noon, and we close, what, about 4 o'clock? That's what we've been closing at. And it's a place that honors the 19. We have displays up on each of the guys. We have things on the Dosie Fire, on the movie Only the Brave. But the big highlight of the center for most people is that we are working to get all 1,100 T-shirts out that firemen left from all over the country on this Station 7 fence. Mm-hmm. And that's been in particularly a highlight for many visitors because they come and they're like, oh, do you have something mm-hmm. from Yuma Fire? And we're able to show them, yeah, Yuma firefighter left a shirt on mm-hmm. the wall, on the fence. Now it's on the wall. And that's made a real impact for a lot of people to see the care and the empathy and the compassion that came from all over the world when our guys died.
It really is very moving. And I have to, full disclosure, I'm a new member on the board for the center and so proud to be so, but also have had a chance to volunteer at the center. And most of the people that come in want to see a shirt from their hometown. And so we've got about 700 or so now up is
about,
what I'm told.
We're trying. We're
yeah,
trying.
We're getting there. So
we're running out of space. So,
but also mm-hmm. there's some great you know, memories of each of the heroes and mm-hmm. you know, photographs. And it's a very moving and appropriate tribute. And I'm very proud to be part of it. Really kind of the impetus for the center and kind of the folks that made it all happen and get started was the board. And our board chair, John Marsh, is here. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have you today. John, just briefly, do you want to maybe would you share your relationship and why you're involved in this effort?
Well, as a family member, I was interested in the memorabilia and artifacts that were left at the station. And being personally involved, it gives new meaning to me to meet with the people that honor and pay tribute to the guys, and which I didn't know but one. That was my son.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's really, I would agree with you that when folks come, a lot of them have a story, they have a connection to someone in firefighting, whether it's structure, wildland, fire, and it's, you know, I'm just going to be honest, it's an emotional experience usually for a lot of the folks that come through there.
Yes,
but
it is.
It feels like a positive and healing experience for most of those folks that come in as well.
I think that was the biggest surprise for us is the number of people who come into the center and they start to share about someone they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the center has become a place where people are comfortable with sharing their grief, and I think it's a very healing experience for mm-hmm. them. Oftentimes, they never got to share about their loved one. You know, they didn't have family or, you know, a lot of friends in their area, and they share with us the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have tissues ready and a comforting hug, and it just gives them a feeling of, I don't know, safety or completeness. Mm-hmm. Something special is going on there.
Yeah, and I would completely agree with you, and it's really been an honor to serve there. One thing that I love about the center, and I think is tremendous, is, you know, John being the chair of the board, is this is 100% operated by volunteers right now. This is all, you know, the board and our number of volunteers. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Well, we've been fortunate to have some really great people volunteer to staff the center as docents. And the center is operated by a board of directors that are all volunteers. In fact, in the beginning, we didn't have any money to help buy materials for the center, and we passed the hat, and the board contributed over $2,000 out of their own pocket to open a bank account.
Wow. Yeah, that's tremendous commitment. And again, with your leadership, the board's been in place for about 18 months or so, maybe a little more.
Approximately.
And just... I've been impressed with how far it's come and how much is there and what your leadership has done. And we really, I think the community appreciates everything you've done, John, personally. And we, you know, thank you for that. So the center's open on the weekends. I would urge everyone who has not been able to visit to come see it. It's just an appropriate and moving tribute. So, Katie, any thoughts about exhibits and kind of what we're doing right now and what we can expect for the future?
We're really working on our app kiosks right now. I just met with Arizona State Parks, and they're putting together some fabulous stuff for us to be looking at. So that will be coming up. Hopefully in the next few months we're going to have some new interactive displays.
Excellent. I know there's sort of a touchscreen opportunity mm-hmm. right now or coming up. So, again, if you haven't had a chance, and really – I have to put a plug in for the mall. The mall is really revitalized in the last year, and I think I'm going to give credit to the center for part of that. I think it's brought a lot of people through. Had how many people through the first year?
At last count, we were over 23,000 visitors and from all states and approximately 15 foreign countries.
That's tremendous. Well, what a great job, and I'm so honored to be part of the board and part of the center. I told this to all the museums, we could spend an hour just talking about this center, and maybe we'll get you on a future radio show. But thank you both for coming today and being part of this and getting the word out about the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And I think Mayor Mangarelli will be back for the next Prescott edition. You're listening to KQ&A, Talk of the Town. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Olson's for Healthy Animals, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Cottonwood Area Transit, Genesis Family Hair Care, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.